Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back to the program. We started earlier with Kyle Whittingham of Utah, and we're really looking forward to welcoming back to our show Tony Barnhart. He has hosted the show many, many times. Tony was here at the SEC Network on day one, and he announced over the weekend that he is leaving the SEC Network. Tony, it's always great to have you on. Good afternoon. Thanks so much, and how are you?
Paul, I'm doing well, and before we get started, I have to tell you, my mom found out I was going to be on today, because I told her. She said, please say hello to Paul. My mom, Sarah, who lives in Madison, Georgia, she's 89 years old, and she loves you to death.
Well, I feel, one day, I was many years ago, I was sick, and we asked you to fill in. And I later found out that your mother was sick at the same time. And it to this day, it bothered me, the fact that you had to leave her to come sit here. But that means a great deal to me, and I appreciate you saying that, and all the best to her. Tony, let me get right to the headline of the hour, and that was involving you and your decision to walk away from a network that you were really an integral part of from day one. I know many have reached out to you since you announced that over the weekend, but we wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about it for a moment.
Well, Paul, we found out earlier in the summer that we would not be back at the SEC Network, but I am so thrilled to have had 8 years. And I was there, as you said, on the very beginning, August 14th, 2014, got a chance to talk to Dak Prescott after we launched the network. So it has been an incredible experience. Just absolutely thrilled to have been a part of it, and I look forward to see what's next.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. I am terribly upset about whatever and however that was concluded, because you know how all of us here on this program feel about you, and we always wanted you to be here whenever you could, and we have thoroughly enjoyed our interactions with you, and we very much hope those continue.
Well, I appreciate that. I sat there and I put together a list of all the great people I've worked with. Peter Burns, heard from him, Greg McElroy, Chris Doering, Dari Noka, all these great people that I got a chance to work with in Charlotte, all the producers, Mr. Kubiak and Danny Brams and Brad Buchanan and all those folks. It is easily one of the top experiences of my professional life.
Which the journalist in me is compelled to ask you the next question. What is ahead for you?
Well, a bunch of my old newspaper buddies, we put together a website about 4 or 5 years ago. And so I'm going to write 3 times a week for that website. We're trying to work and see if we can put together some sort of podcast. I do a radio show with former UT assistant coordinator Doug Matthews. I do that in Nashville for a couple hours every Saturday morning. And I'm going to, just looking at everything, I'm going to probably be as busy as I want to be.
Well, and again, I think sometimes people get hung up on having to do something on a regular basis, and you do that, but there's plenty going on in your life, and you ought to enjoy it a little bit more than maybe you've had the opportunity, easy for me to say, all these many, many years. And I hope you're able to do some things that you haven't been able to do.
Oh, we will. Mrs. Barnhart will see to that. I promise.
Well, that's great. Well, let's get to the main purpose of this time of the year, and that's talking about what is going on the practice fields and the expectations. I'm assuming you have no, you're not quibbling with any of the rankings that have come out, and if so, what are they?
Well, I find it fascinating that the coaches' poll is out, the AP poll is out, the football poll is out, and they're all, the top five are the same in all of I haven't quite figured out Notre Dame. I could be wrong about that with the new coach and Marcus Freeman. I don't know that they're number five, and I'm not sure that I'm sold on Michigan. But after the first four, I think everybody's going to have Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia in some order. Then who is number four? Is it Clemson? Is it Utah? Don't think it'll be Notre Dame. Could it be a one-loss Michigan? Maybe. Utah is a team that I like a lot, and Oklahoma is a team that I like a lot. So we'll see.
Tony, I want to get your thoughts on the big story of this week. And it's not Paul Bryant and Adolph Rupp squabbling. It is. Even though neither one of us covered that, it seems like we did. It's John Calipari and Mark Stoops. And with a couple of days to chew on this and talk to – nobody's got a Rolodex like you do. You know everybody that matters. What have you been able to learn, and where does this go from here?
Well, I just put something on the website a couple of hours ago. If I can shamelessly plug it, it's SI.com. We're under the SI umbrella. SI.com/college/TMG, which stands for the media guys. And I just posted a column. I said, you know, first, a couple of things. Number one, John Calipari knows better. He knows that today there is what the landscape of college athletics, Paul. There is no football school. There is no basketball school. Every school has to be a football school because of the money that is being generated. So, I understand where Mark Stoops is coming from. I sat in his office when he was 0-8, 2-6, and 2-6 in his first 3 years, and I know how hard they worked over there. So I think the bottom line is it will blow over, but I think it points out the fact that we're in a different time. You used to be able to say, well, that's a football school, that's a basketball school. I don't think those terms apply anymore.
Talking to Tony Barnhart. And Tony, I want to ask you about the position of the SEC, and it's so easy to not even think about anything and just declare the SEC the king of the universe, and there's a lot of evidence to support that, but many are wondering a little bit with this new Big Ten deal, yet to be announced, but it is a blockbuster. You've worked at the major networks at CBS in addition to ESPN, and you understand all the nuances of these deals. So when that is finally announced, not that the SEC has to react, because in many ways this is a reaction to the SEC taking Oklahoma and Texas, but right. What do you think the narrative is going to be?
Well, the narrative is going to be when the Big Ten releases their deal, it will be very, very attractive. And they'll say, well, they're making more money than the SEC. But I think when you're talking about this kind of money, I don't think you can quibble over the numbers that the SEC is going to look at. The other thing is, you just touched on it, the SEC made its move over a year ago, and what the Big Ten did was in reaction to that move. So I think the SEC is going to be fine. It's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten dominating the scene. The next big move I'm interested in is, what are they going to do with the playoff? Does this mean that we're going to have a 12-team playoff? I happen to think that it does. But that is going to be an interesting process to get to, because you can't really do much of anything on the scheduling front until you know what the playoff's going to look like. And I'm anxious to see what they come up with.
Tony, I was with some people earlier today at lunch, and they're involved in the industry, and I'll just leave it there. And one of them told me that he had had conversations with some people connected to the Pac-12. I'll try to say this without laughing. And he said they were blindsided by what happened with the Big Ten because they had a deal. They were all in it together. And that was just about a year ago when that alliance was formed. I almost fell out of my chair at the restaurant because the idea that anyone could be that naive in the shark-infested waters of college sports today. But I guess there are some people who believe that a deal is a deal, or did.
Yeah, or did. But the thing about it is that I keep thinking, how's that alliance working out? You know, that was a press conference where that was 45 minutes of our lives, Paul, that we'll never get back from them talking about the alliance and the way they were going to do it a different way. The implication was clear. We're not going to be like those money-grubbing guys in the SEC. We're going to do it right. And it's amazing, Paul, to think about this. What if the 12-team playoff that Greg Sankey and Jack Swarbrick and all the other people had put together, that was a very functional way to do it. They'd been given a lot of thought. What if they vote to pass that? Would the Big 12 and the Pac-12 be in this kind of position right now?
It's a great question. Before Tony goes, I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues of the offseason. They seem to have subsided somewhat. When we saw you, I believe, 2 months ago, everybody was talking about Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. But they both have said they're friends, and it's all over with. It's just a skirmish. And Jimbo said at Media Days, you know, us West Virginia boys, we get it on, and then we go out and have a few beers. I don't know. I realize I'm just a naive young pup right out of school, Tony, but am I supposed to believe all that?
Well, I believe some of it. But again, one thing I've learned from this, doing this a while, Paul, is that the next big conflict lurking around the corner when somebody gets a recruit that somebody else wanted, we're one recruiting story away from all of this stuff being dredged up again. But I will say this, this gives us something to look forward to on October 8th when Texas A&M will get, I'm sure, a very warm greeting from the folks at Bryant-Denny Stadium. That will be a date that everybody's going to have circled.
Well, Tony, we appreciate you coming by and talking about your departure. It doesn't really mean anything in terms of the opportunities to visit, and we will continue these often in the hopefully coming years. Tony, you be well, and all the best to your mom and your family, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, Paul. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much. Tony Barnhart joining us, Mr. College Football, and we will come back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and so is Daryl in Georgia. Hello, Daryl.
So Tony Barnhart is leaving what, ESPN or the SEC Network, or what is it?
He's leaving both.
Okay, but he's employed by ESPN, right?
Well, let me explain. The SEC Network is a part of ESPN.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. What is ESPN going to do? The day, okay, it's going to happen, the day that somebody comes up with another company that rivals them. That day is coming. You know it is. If you can rival the PGA Tour, ESPN's day is coming. The day they let Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann walk was the day that I realized, I'm going to post it to ESPN, Paul. I know I know that's your ball, but I just don't understand some of them guys up there that's holding them shots like that. But anyway, hey, I would say this about Tony. I mean, about one thing Barnhart said. I disagree from a fan perspective. There's still basketball in football schools. I mean, Providence is always going to be a basketball school. Villanova is always going to be a basketball school. Gonzaga is always going to be a basketball school. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, but let me explain. What Tony was mentioning there, and those schools do not have Power 5 football programs. They do have football programs, at least Villanova does. The difference is the money, and even though Duke basketball is the be-all, end-all, or Kentucky basketball, the football programs now make more money from a television revenue standpoint. That's the point of reference there.
Oh, yeah, I get that, which means, like, if your basketball team is now better, the football program is still going to have as much leverage because they're bringing in the money, right?
And really, the first sign of all this was about 10 years ago, if you remember, Mac Brown referenced it the other day, when many of the Big 12 schools were on the verge. They were a day away from going to the Pac-12. Do you remember who they left home? They were not inviting? Kansas. And Kansas is one of the most important basketball programs in history. That's where basketball was invented. They won the championship this year. They didn't want them because they brought nothing to the table from a revenue standpoint in football.
Yeah, I thought, but don't they have like a pretty decent football team, I thought? I mean, not, you know, nothing that's big time, but
well,
I mean,
at one time they did, yeah, but so that's really what he, I mean, right now, when this new SEC network, this new SEC ESPN contract goes into effect, Kentucky football will be more valuable than Kentucky basketball.
Absolutely, I understand. Hey, you know what? I think you need to have Laura Rutledge on a little bit more, okay? And let me ask you this. Is there any plans to bring in Danny Sheridan on before the season gets started?
Well, it's a good suggestion. I'll talk to the guys in the back room, see what they say.
Everybody loves Danny Sheridan, right? I mean, everybody loves Danny Sheridan. And he's, you know, I love his football knowledge because everybody loves him. He's always been, I thought, one of your top guests for your show. One more thing. I read something that you had put out there saying that you really didn't have, I mean, questioning Georgia for going into season being number 3. Where's the question mark at? I don't get it.
See, Darryl, you have to understand, I'm on a program this morning. Mike Greenberg asked me about Georgia. And I got through talking about Ohio State and Michigan, and I said, I think they'll be really good, but I don't think their defense, big shock, will be quite as good as last year, even though their offense will be better. I mean, sometimes when the internet aggregates comments in real time, they read rather strangely, and I'm not trying to be a victim here of all people, but that's sometimes you have to understand the context, and most people don't. Just like with the whole Calipari thing, that was on a radio show in Birmingham. I said that I didn't like go call a press conference in Lexington to take a shot at John Calipari. Ryan is up next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
All right, I got a take for you here. So I've been seeing a lot of hate about the LSU Tigers on the recent polls. I'm seeing as high as probably 8-4, you know, sometimes even lower. But I'm here to tell you right now that them Tigers are going to win the national championship this year without a doubt. And you know why? It's because this kid, Jaden Daniels. Before I got on here, I was looking and it said +3,000 odds for Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman this year. And I'm telling you, that's the mortgage. That's the kid's Christmas present. This kid is the truth. And he is going to be a Heisman candidate.
Marshall is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Marshall. Good afternoon.
Jaden Daniels win the Heisman? Paul? Jeez. I thought my take was wrong.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Paul?
About Jaden Daniels, I really don't have that comes under – I have absolutely nothing to say about that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should have anything to say about that. Now, Paul made a pretty big splash on Twitter. I didn't realize it was going to go that crazy.
So you're the one that predicted what? The Gamecocks to do what?
11-1, Paul.
11-1. Yeah, that was big. That's all you have to do is come on this show and make a wild and crazy prediction, and you will be a star.
Did you see what Mark Stoops said about Shane Beamer or his little shot he took?
No, I did not.
You haven't heard about it?
I have not heard.
It was Stoops. Well, Paul, Mark Stoops needs to calm down. He needs to calm down a little bit. Hey, you want me to read you the quote?
Please.
End quote. It's easy to change a climate. You just change a uniform, talk a little game, dance around, put some stupid sunglasses on, and you can change a climate. But to change a culture is at the core. I don't understand why Mark's opening his mouth about Shane. I used to like Mark, but I mean, I lost a lot of respect for him. He's like the kid in class. He wants all this attention and it's starting to swindle away, and he's just getting mad at everybody. I don't know what his deal is, Paul.
Well, again, Marshall, I think that was a comment that was said jokingly at media days. I don't think it should be taken literally.
Well, I mean, he said it right after that video surfaced with Beamer, and it had about, what, 4 million views? So, I mean, a lot of people down here are taking it as a shot at Beamer.
Well, then, by all means, I think you should. Some people like to be outraged, and if Shane Beamer wants to get upset about something that's stupid, then that's exactly what he should do. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Hugh is up next in Georgia. Hello, Hugh.
Hey.
Hey there.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
My question is, why is Georgia, the defending national champions, not ranked right up there with Alabama? We've stockpiled 2, 3, 4 years of five-star athletes just like they have, and they're going to step in, and our early season schedule should be, I guess, easy to get those people acclimated to the game.
Why does it matter, Hugh, is my question.
Well, it's just kind of a...
I mean, you're ranked number three in the country. Can you tell me a year that Georgia has been preseason ranked higher than number three? Can you give that to me off the top of your head?
I think it was one back in the Rick era where we were ranked.
Well, that's true. 2008, you were ranked number one preseason, and that lasted all of 1 week.
It did.
And then Alabama came in and put about a 31-0 beat down in the first half, and it was all over after that.
I think that was the blackout night.
That sure was.
Yep.
Remember it well.
I think it's a prestige.
I still have a sport coat in my attic that some Georgia frat boy poured a beer can on.
Yeah.
Not that I'm upset about that.
Yep. Thank you for my call.
I mean, you know, I don't mean to go off, but you got a Georgia fan. It's been how many years? 14, 15 years. Since Georgia was ranked this high, and you're upset that Alabama is ranked higher than you, when you lost, 15 players that went in the NFL draft, half of them in the first round? Am I missing a reality check? Maybe I am. We'll take a short break and come right back. We have a student journalist guest right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back to school, and we like doing this, and we are heading to Mississippi State. Tanner Marler rejoins us from the Reflector. He joined us last year as the sports editor, and the young man has got a promotion since then. Tanner, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Yes, sir, Paul. Thank you for having me again. Have been promoted. They saw fit to keep me around for another year, so here we are.
Well, you made such an impression last year. I'm surprised you're not in the movies. But anyway, great to have you with us. Let's talk about, we just heard from Leach, which is always entertaining. What's camp been like so far?
It's been an interesting camp, Paul. Interesting not because of there's been really much controversy, but more interesting because of the holes that this team has to fill. You know, Charles Cross selected ninth last year in the draft of the Seahawks. That's a massive gap to fill at left tackle. Not to mention the team losing the leading wide receiver in terms of yardage last year. So a lot of holes to fill so far in camp, and I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, unlike a lot of clubs, the quarterback situation has been settled for some time, so that makes things a little bit easier. But overall, how big of a step do you think this team is ready to make? Because they need to make one pretty soon.
Well, in terms of record, Paul, I don't think it's going to be a huge step, to be honest. You know, you trade last year with what was a pretty manageable SEC schedule for what many are saying is the hardest in the country. You swap Vanderbilt for Georgia, games like that. You're playing so many ranked teams this year. I really see there being a bigger jump in the on-field product, that is, but not as big of a jump in terms of record as some might think.
But already we have heard some conversation about some of these games where Georgia, you know, Georgia, Auburn. I mean, there's some real opportunities there, but you're right. And when you're Mississippi State, you have to negotiate. That early game against Arizona, though, it's kind of a weird game, but it also seems like an opportunity, does it not?
It's definitely an opportunity. I mean, Arizona has been it's no secret they've been struggling the past few years. It's a longer road trip. It's going to be something that this team's really not used to. I think it's going to be good for them, and I really think they have the potential to go into Death Valley 2-0. I think it's expected, and if you can carry that kind of momentum in there to what is one of the biggest question marks in the SEC this year as far as LSU goes, I think you have a real shot at starting 3-0.
Yeah, and I don't want to look past Memphis. That's been a game that has caused State plenty of trouble, although I know there are plenty of people, too, that still shake their head about what happened last year.
Absolutely. You know, last year's Memphis game was – I had a piece on it that did fairly well, but it was, the blown call on the punt return for a touchdown. And that's also a Memphis team that's without Calvin Austin III this next season, who is one of the faster players in the country. So I really think that is going to play into that, along with the potential for a little bit of a rivalry, a revenge game, if you will.
Tanner, let's talk about Leach for a second. I mean, we've run out of cliches and adjectives, quirkiness, you know them all. But what's he like to cover as someone who is a student but also on the student newspaper?
Well, it's, you know, there are few coaches in college football that command the kind of presence that Leach does, not just because of, you know, what he brings to the table as far as X's and O's goes, but you also, like you said, never know what's going to come out of his mouth. So it's been a very fun job. It's been a very interesting job, one that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I really think it's helped me as far as dealing with coaches and getting to deal with such an individualistic personality.
Does anyone really know him, though? I say that as somebody who I used to think I knew him because I spent a lot of time with him. But even when you're with him, though, you just never really know what's going on.
You never really do. I personally can't say I know him all that well outside of what we get to talk about in press conferences, which is just X's and O's. But he fills us in on his personal life from time to time. He likes cats. He's a big cat guy.
Oh, good. That's... You know, I was thinking today of the 14 SEC coaches, what I wanted to know least about any of them was if they liked animals.
Well, you know, there's so, like you said, there's only so many cliches we can go with. You know, we have to do some in-depth journalism here, and you know, I feel like that can fall in that category.
Well, you forced me to ask you the follow-up question. What kind of cats?
I'm not sure on that one. I believe it may have a calico. I can't say for certain. I don't have sources.
Well, you need to put your staff on that one. You have a whole staff at your command now as the managing editor. And by the way, for those not outside the newspaper, world. Now that's the guy or the lady that makes everything happen. This isn't just the sports editor, the editor who has long latte breaks at Starbucks. The managing editor runs the inside shop.
At least, so we'll see how that goes. We're about to get kicked off here. First print is this next week. We've already started content planning and meetings. It's much different than being a sports editor, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to being able to still kind of keep in the sports world and athletic department as a whole, for sure.
So, Tanner, we ask all of our student friends about their own careers and what's next. Where are you in school, and what would you ultimately like to do?
Well, I graduated in May from undergrad. Graduate school is still on the table. There's some things being kicked around there, but recently got into a lot more broadcast stuff, color commentary and stuff like that for local prep school stuff. So, excuse me, really looking forward to getting into that, and if that's an option, I'd like to pursue it. But my start was in print. My passion is still in print and writing and you know, getting my hands dirty and covering these teams and telling these stories. And to me, that's the best part of it. If I can do that, it really doesn't matter the medium.
Tanner, let me offer this. My start was in print. My passion still is in print, but I'm in broadcasting now. If that helps you at all, make your decision.
Yeah, you know, I think you saw the writing on the wall along with the rest of us, maybe.
Okay, so before you go, give us, you alluded to it a minute ago about the difficulty of the schedule. Where will the Bulldogs be when it's all said and done?
Well, if you remember last year, Paul, I said we would finish 7-5, or Mississippi State would finish 7-5, and sure enough, they finished 7-5, so we're 100% so far. We're going for it this year. I'm going to say they go into the Egg Bowl 7-4 and come out of it this year 8-4.
Oh my goodness, going for the big win over Lane Kiffin. You know, we haven't seen Lane Kiffin have to walk off the Egg Bowl field a loser, but very well could happen this year. Hey, thank you so much for the that would be a road win for Mike Leach as well. You be well. We will look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you, Tanner.
Thank you, Paul.
Tanner Marlar from Mississippi State. We appreciate his time. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back here, busy hour with a number of guests. Let's get back to the calls. And Ray is up next in San Antonio. Hello, Ray.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing this afternoon?
Ray, we're doing well. Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. I always enjoy talking to you. Hey, I had to share a story with you and also ask you a question at the end of it. But when Coach Paul Bear Bryant was coaching the Aggies, my grandparents had a little country store on the Brazos River on Highway 21 that ran into College Station. And he used to stop there at that store and share time with my grandparents. And most specifically, he smoked Lucky Strike cigarettes and ordered some what we used to call summer sausage and cheese from my grandfather's meat counter.
Oh, wow.
And he would also enjoy, I don't know if you knew it at the time, but many people used to take Dr. Pepper and pour peanuts into it.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. I never did it, but I remember hearing about it.
So, yeah, he used to do that, and my grandmother was probably one of the biggest Aggie fans there ever was, never missed a a game on the radio, and owned that store for 45 years, and she was very proud of the fact. You know, she said Coach Bryant used to talk to him. Of course, that was a big farming area, cotton farming area, in the Brazos Bottom, and she said he was just like another cotton farmer. You know, he'd come in and he would talk face to face with the common man, like there was no difference between him and anybody else. So,
well, you know what and I don't want to act like I knew him. I knew him as a very young reporter. And it was hardly a close relationship. But he grew up poor in Arkansas, as you know, and I think that's really where he developed that personality, and it never changed. I mean, he hung around with some of the most famous and wealthiest people in the world, but he was unlike any coach since him, including the guy they have now. He could relate to everyone, and that's why. When he died, the entire state came to a halt.
You know, you're exactly right. And there's so many arguments, you know, for who now would be the greatest collegiate coach that's ever coached. But I have to say, from a holistic point of view, there will never be anybody like Coach Bryant again. His legacy lives on and, has been influential in so many lives, but had to share that story. But I wanted to ask you also.
Hey, by the way, Ray, one more thing. When at his funeral, there was a really large contingent from Texas A&M. I remember because there was an event afterwards that the media was invited to, and it made an impression. Even many years later, we're talking about 1983, and he left A&M. Nearly 58. He never lost his relationship, and I remember a couple of years before he died, maybe not that long before he died, there was a reunion of his players. They showed up for his birthday one night. He never lost that connection. I think Gene Stallings probably played a big role in that.
Yeah, he did, and. And if you look into it, you could talk all day about this, but if you look into some of the lore of Coach Bryant when he was at Texas A&M, and you read the book about the Junction Boys, you know, there was a respect, there was a love for him, even from those young men. You know, that went out and gave it all. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, didn't come back from Junction, but all of them, including Gene Stallings, to a man, loved Coach Bryant. And, you know, that's without anything being said. You know, my dad used to say, you know, son, if you're good, you're not going to have to say anything about it. Everybody around you is going to know it. And, that's the way Coach Bryant was. I was born in 1958, so a lot of these stories were passed down to me through my grandparents. And, you know, a lot of shared, you know, really nice things to hear. When college football was of a different generation. And so anyways.
Well, Ray, thank you.
That being said, I want
you said a lot of all the things you said. I think the thing that I'm going to remember the most because is the peanuts and the Dr. Pepper. That was a childhood memory.
I wanted to ask you just real quick, with Texas coming into the SEC, what do you think is going to take place with regard to the recruiting battles in Texas between A&M and Texas again?
Well, I think you're seeing it already. I think they're going to be ratcheted up to Southwest Conference days when everybody was involved, and now everybody can be involved in a legal sense. But I think it's going to bring – I don't think it's bad for anybody because I think it just makes it more intense. And sometimes, you know, why do you put why do you put two gas stations on the same corner? Because one brings other people to that corner, and everybody can't go to the same one. I think it will be good. I think it helps Texas initially, but I'm already hearing some horror stories out of their camp this year, which I'll get to a little bit later. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fantastic call, really conversation there. That was really interesting to hear about your grandparents. Let's talk to Trent next in Georgia. Hey, Trent. Trent, you there?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I want to ask, what do you think about Stetson Bennett and the Georgia Bulldogs this year?
Well, I think he's going to be able to play with a lot less pressure than he did last year because he really didn't have a margin of error. Now, I think because of the stature of Georgia and the pressure that always is associated, he's one bad game away from everyone talking about his backup.
So you're not feeling another national championship?
Trent, I'm not, but I'm not also saying it's going to be a bad year. I mean, a bad year at Georgia could be a undefeated regular season and a loss in the championship game. I think Georgia is capable of winning the SEC this year, but I think it's dependent on how the defense develops, and I think some of it depends on what happens to Alabama. I mean, Alabama is a quarterback injury away from Georgia being the favorite. We'll take a break. We will come back with much, much more.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.